Galatians chapter 2, Galatians 2, and today I'm going to do the second part of a message that we started last Sunday morning, and the primary emphasis on in these messages is looking at the doctrine of the epistles in your New Testament. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, to rightly divide the word of truth simply means to distinguish the doctrine that is written to us, directly to us, from that which was written for those in time past and those that are to come. We are living today in the dispensation of the grace of God. According to Ephesians chapter 3, that dispensation was given to the Apostle Paul. Your Bible is laid out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those books are called the four Gospels, and they talk about the life of Jesus Christ, his first coming, his birth, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and then the days that he spent with the apostles prior to his ascension into heaven. You get over to Acts chapter 1, and that's where we find Christ ascending into heaven, and the apostles are carrying out the same commission that God gave them in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and so forth. And he told them in Matthew 24, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." Now, for illustrative purposes today, I'm going to do something a little bit different. And you might not particularly like this or enjoy it, but if you don't, you'll just have to look at it as 45 minutes you'll never get back. But then again, probably a lot of Sundays you walk out thinking, that's 45 minutes I'll never get back. But for illustrative purposes, we've got a division here. We've got a set of pews. For those, I'm saying this for those on the watching over the internet that's never been to church here, never seen an auditorium. But our auditorium's divided into two sections with an aisle right in the middle. Everybody on this right section, you folks are going to represent those that Christ preached to in his earthly ministry, and those that got saved during the early part of Acts. You over here are going to represent the people that Paul preached to and that got saved under Paul's ministry and became part of the body of Christ. Now, I told you Galatians 2, I was just kidding. Go back to Luke chapter 12. You group over here, there was a time when Christ among you picked out 12 men. And those 12 men are named in Matthew 10. From the disciples, the Bible says, he picked out 12 apostles. A disciple is simply a follower. So 12 of you are apostles. Christ spoke to you one day in Matthew chapter 10. And he said to go not into the way of the Gentiles, but to go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the 12 of you went out, and 12 of you went out and did that. And the people around you are a result of you doing that ministry. Because there were people that believed. But there was a time when Jesus Christ told the 12 of you, that I'm not going to establish my kingdom right now, even though I told you to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I've kept a secret from you, and that secret is, I've got to die. One of you, whose name is Peter, we'll let Jim represent Peter, the Apostle Peter. James Peter over here rebuked him, and he said, "Lord, this is not going to happen. We'll not allow this." And so the Lord told Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. It's going to happen. I'm going to die." A little later on, Peter came to Christ in Matthew 19, and he said, "Father, our Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus told him and said, He said, when I sit upon the throne of my glory, you're going to sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And Peter, being the proud individual he was, he kind of gloried in that, and he thought, yeah, we're going to finally get our reward. We're going to get our position. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus Christ, in verse 31, said, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So now these 12 have some new information. And that information is that the whole nation is not going to be saved. And so the kingdom's going to be taken from the nation and given to a few. That few ended up including 3,000 being saved on one day, 5,000 on another day, but in comparison to the nation, it was still a few. Now, go over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. One of you 12 out there, and y'all can decide who it is Judas. Peter over here just pointed at his wife. But she wasn't Judas. I told you this might get a little nutty. But anyway, in Acts chapter 1, there's 11 of you apostles over here that have been with Christ for 40 days. And so, in verse 4, the Bible says, being assembled together with them, I tell you what, let's just go back to verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, which also said, verse 11, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So after that, 11 of your apostles over here that were chosen by Christ, you choose out somebody to take the place of Judas. And then, 10 days after Christ ascends into heaven, is the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, you're all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there comes a sound from heaven, Acts 2:2, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And so many of you were there that day. And you heard these men speaking in different languages. And some people accused them of being drunk. But you said, that can't be possible. It's not late enough. And they said, well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And so they were accused of being drunk. But they weren't drunk. They were speaking by the power of the Holy Ghost. And they began to preach unto them. And many of those of you over here, up until then, you did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. But Peter said, listen, you very people that are Jews, who grew up Jews, You have crucified your Messiah. And you know what you said? Some of you said, well, what shall we do? And Peter said, well, just believe by the grace of God that you'll be saved and you'll be saved. No. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so that's what you did. And then you were reminded that when Christ was on earth, he told his disciples to take no thought for their life, what they're going to eat, drink, or put on. And so, no matter how much property you had, you went out and you sold it, and you brought it, and you laid it at the apostles' feet. And you had all things common. You know why you did that? Because the Lord commanded it. But there was a couple of you out there, Ananias and Sapphira, you didn't do that. So you're not with us anymore. Because God struck both of you dead for lying to the Holy Ghost. What Peter told you was that if you would repent and be converted, that your sins would be blotted out when the time of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. And so you were thrilled with that. Because you had read Jeremiah chapter 31, and you knew that there was going to be a day when God was going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and that was you. You were the house of Israel. And so you were thrilled with that, and you were looking forward to the day when Christ was going to return and establish that kingdom, and you as the 12, you're going to sit upon 12 thrones judging those 12 tribes of Israel. And you were resting in that. And you were warned that there was going to be some tribulation and so forth. And there was. As a matter of fact, it got so bad that most of you had to leave Jerusalem. And you were scattered abroad. But the apostles, they remained for a period of time. But as you departed from there, the Bible says that you went out and preached the word. But it also says you preached it to Jews only. You know why? Because Jesus had taught those 11 or those 12 disciples that the children must first be fed. Now, one of you over here, his name was Cornelius. Your name was Vincent Cornelius Heron. And so Cornelius, he heard about what was going on. And he was a man that feared God. Well, let's read about Cornelius. Most of y'all think you know him, but let's read about it in Acts chapter 10 here. Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one, Simon, whose surname is Peter. And so what does he do? He says there, verse 7, when the angel which spoke to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all the things unto them, he sent to them Joppa. And so they go down to there, and it just so happens, verse 9, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time. And you know the rest of the story. Notice in verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And now listen out, verse 26. We're just skipping around here because of time. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he taught with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, what had happened there with Peter? Peter said, think about this. The Great Commission said, go into the world and preach the gospel to how many? Every creature. Flip back in your Bible. Hold on here in Acts 10. Go back to Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to start reading as soon as I get there because I got a lot of verses to cover. So if you want to just listen to the tape again. In Matthew 15, verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now flip over to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and here's the key to the whole thing. Mark 7. What did Christ tell them there on the day of before he sent into heaven? Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. But here's the key. In Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, now notice, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Listen, Acts chapter 10 is the only place you can find in your Bible where God changed anything about what Peter and the others were to do. And the only thing it changed, now get a hold of this, was not what they were to preach, but the order in which it could occur. Amen. He had said, the children must first be fed. But the nation as a whole had not received the word, and so God had to miraculously show Peter that it was all right for him to go down to the house of a Gentile, and he said, it's an unlawful thing for me to go to a man of another nation. But God has showed me not to call any of them unclean. So here I am, Cornelius. Now what'd you want? Well, notice what Peter says back in Acts chapter 10. Verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in him, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Peter never told Cornelius anything different than what he had been preaching the entire time, and it started all the way back with the baptism of John. When Christ in Luke 24 told the 12 that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in my name, that was exactly what happened in Acts 2:38 when he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And there is not one verse, listen to me, in your Bible that you can identify where God ever changed what Peter was to be preaching. And if you can, I'll give you 10 minutes to stand up right now and read them to me. You cannot do it. You can speculate that he did. You can say, well, he must have. After all, he talked about forgiveness by the blood. He talked about redemption by the blood. But he never quit preaching the message that was committed to him. The only thing that changed was he went to a Gentile, and that Gentile, Cornelius here, was a man that feared God and worked righteousness. And so when that happened, Peter said, I perceive that in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted. So some of you out there are not Jews. You're Gentiles that feared God and worked righteousness. And you became part of the little flock. Why? That's all there was. So, well, what about the body of Christ? Wasn't it there? No, it wasn't. In Acts chapter 10, God saved the Apostle Paul. And now you people, Acts 9, God saved the Apostle Paul. And you folks over here just ought to be really happy about that. Because up until then, you weren't saved. Some of you were Jews. Some of you were from Thessalonica. And Paul came down there and he preached in the synagogue that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, proven so by his death, burial, and resurrection. Few of you believe that, but the most did not. So Paul had to get out of town. Those of you that believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, I would say Paul probably told you how that Christ died for your sins. Some of you are from Corinth. Y'all were a bad bunch of people. But when Paul came into Corinth, he went into the synagogue. He preached unto you that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, proven by his death, burial, and resurrection. But he also told you how that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures. And he was buried and rose again the third day. You from Thessalonica, Paul wrote you a letter, and he said he was really thankful for you because you received the Word of God as it was, not as the Word of man. And it effectually works in you that believe. But when he wrote to you at Corinth, he wasn't so nice because you weren't so nice. And he rebuked you about all kind of things, but he made you know one thing for sure. You're still a saint. By the grace of God, you're a saint. He wrote you a second letter because there was a problem there at Corinth. And he confirmed that you ought to forgive the person who was wrong there. Some of you are from Galatia. And you heard Paul preach, but somebody came along and said, except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. And you said, that would be painful. But you got circumcised anyway because you allowed somebody to put you back under the law. And so Paul wrote to you and he said, if you be circumcised, if you're trusting circumcision, Christ is going to profit you nothing. Some of you were from Rome. And he wrote you a letter, and he talked about how that you were justified by grace through faith. That you were enemies of God, but now you've been reconciled. And that you've already received the atonement. And you thought, man, that's great news, because our Israelite brothers over there, they're still waiting for it. And so you had some questions about what's happened to Israel. And so Paul wrote three chapters to you and told you about Israel. And he made it clear that God's not done with them yet. that there's going to come a day when all Israel shall be saved. And then some of you are from Ephesus, Colossae. And Paul wrote to you, and he said, you know what? You folks that are saved by the grace of God, you're in the same body that started back there in my early ministry. You are members of His body. And He talks about Christ, which is His body. And He tells you how that you were saved by the gospel. You at Ephesus, He said, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And He tells you you're saved by grace. But He reminds you that you were in time past strangers from the covenant promise, without hope and without God in the world. And that just makes you rejoice even the more, because you realize that people like you never even had hope of salvation, but now you're saved by the grace of God and you have an inheritance among those who are in the body of Christ. And a matter of fact, you're already, spiritually speaking, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you found out that in the ages to come, He's going to show forth the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. During this period of time, Paul hears about the things that have happened back in Jerusalem and how that church over here, these folks are having a hard time because all you folks sold your possessions, remember? And you had all things common. And so Paul, being the loving, kind individual he was, he went around and took up collections to help provide for your needs. Paul wrote to all these churches. And so now we're out about 30 years. And you folks over here, some are wringing their hands because you expected the Lord to return by now. And you really don't understand why He hasn't. And so somebody writes a letter, and it ends up being called the letter to the Hebrews. And in that letter, you find out a lot of things. You find out that God is not done with the Hebrews. Because in chapter 8 of that letter, you find out that God is still going to make the new covenant. He's going to fulfill that covenant with you, with the house of Israel. And that old is ready to pass away, but there's going to be a new covenant, and it's going to occur to the second coming of Jesus Christ. You find out that both groups have redemption through His blood. You find out that both groups they have a lot in common. Both are said to be in Christ. Both are called peculiar people. Both are spoken of as being in the kingdom of God. But you over here, you know that you have a promise. But somebody's come along and told you, you don't really believe that stuff, do you? After all things continue as they have. Look in 2 Peter. 2 Peter. First and Second Peter. Well, flip back to First Peter first. Let me read a verse there and show you something. First Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. You were strangers in those places because if you had been a Gentile, you wouldn't have been a stranger there. But remember, you were scattered. And so you're still in that little flock and you're still waiting for the Lord to return. And so Peter's going to write you a letter. And he's going to try to encourage you. Back in Hosea, you read where there was going to be a time when Israel was not God's people. But now you are God's people. And Peter said, you're still that kingdom of priests. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. Don't anybody take that away from you. Remember what God told Moses back there in Exodus? He said, you're going to be a holy nation. You still are. Just because the Lord hadn't returned. And so Peter says in Acts 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. and hope to the end for the grace that's to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter hadn't given up, has he? He's preaching the same thing. Same people. Look over in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter loves these people. They're the beloved of God. They're his nation. And he says in verse 1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your minds, your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking far and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, he says, we, this group over here, we, according to this promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And when you hear that, you say, oh, I remember reading about that. I remember back in Isaiah chapter 65. In Isaiah 65, the Lord talked about that. And so you flip back there at Isaiah, and you can't find 65 because they weren't numbered at that time. But you read the whole letter from Isaiah. And in verse 17 you find this, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I'll rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. And he goes on down through there, and he says in the last part there, verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And they have comfort, because their apostle has told them, nothing's really changed. All the promises of God are yea and nay. All the promises of God you can depend upon, you can rest upon. And so back in 2 Peter, as he concludes this letter, he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, what you folks, even though you're disappointed that the Lord hadn't returned, you need to take into account that the fact that he hasn't returned is only a sign of his long suffering. Because the longer he waits, the more people can be saved. And he says, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. as also in all his epistle, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So I've read time and time again, particularly since the advent of Facebook, what epistle was it that Paul wrote to these people? It never said he wrote an epistle. It said, he hath written unto you. Now let me ask you something. If I wrote this group over here 13 epistles, and I did, because I'm Paul. I get to play whoever I want to. I'm Paul, and I wrote you 13 epistles. Wouldn't it also be entirely possible that I would write unto you a letter that perhaps wasn't an epistle? Well, sure it would. Why would I do that? Because I received some information from the Lord. I received the revelation of the mystery. I have received how that Christ died for our sins and that we're in the dispensation of the grace of God. And as long as that continues, you can't receive the inheritance you've been expecting. And you find that hard to understand. Now, notice how the verse is worded. Account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles. In other words, I wrote a letter unto you that said the same thing that I wrote to these people in my epistles, according to the wisdom given unto me. Speaking of them, in these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Now notice, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Last week, we read at least 20 verses talking about them falling away in the books of Hebrews, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. What was the falling away? It was not deciding you'd go down to the barroom and get drunk one night. The falling away that's spoken of in those books has to do with the 70th week of Daniel, when there is a physical presence of Satan. You remember the verse where Peter said, the devil is like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, when is there going to be a physical presence of Satan on earth? During the 70th week of Daniel, and he's called the Antichrist. And those that fall away and take the mark of the beast will fit Hebrews chapter 6, where it said if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again. And once they take that mark, if you're in that group and you take that mark of the beast, and you never had the opportunity to because it didn't come to pass. But when Peter and James and John wrote these books, they didn't know when it was going to be. They wrote as if it were going to happen right then. And thus the reminders over and over again. As a matter of fact, look over in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5. If these people are in the body of Christ, I want you to explain these verses to me. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Could somebody identify to me what sin is the sin unto death in the dispensation of the grace of God? Well, there couldn't possibly be one because the Bible says he's forgiven us all trespasses. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. But the wicked one touched some, and they committed the sin unto death by receiving the mark of the beast, or they would. And it would be no good to pray for them, because once you've received the mark, you're a goner. And so you die. one by one, waiting for the Lord to return. But you know what? Nothing ever changed. You died with the same hope that Peter gave you all the way through John, Revelation, and so forth. But you folks over here, you weren't part of this group. And so Paul wrote to you in two of his earliest epistles, and he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep, but we're going to all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together within the clouds." Paul's saying, listen, I've got some information that's never been made known before. And that is that you can go to heaven without dying. And it's a mystery. And so Paul writes about the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. These people over here, they didn't have that hope. They look forward to being resurrected from the dead into this kingdom. We look forward to being taken out at any moment, at the twinkling of an eye. Why? Because we're two groups of people. We were all redeemed by the blood of Christ. We were all part of the family of God. We were all going to be eventually in the kingdom of God. But nothing ever changed about the ministry that God gave Peter, James, and John. And you cannot find where it did. As a matter of fact, as I said last week, the proof is in the pudding. Take your Bible. And I know that we continually read and study Romans through Philemon, we should. But just read through the epistles, Hebrews, through Revelation, and you will see that that doctrine cannot in any way be for the church, the body of Christ. It's for that little flock and for that people that were saved with the hope of that kingdom of Isaiah chapter 65. And the last thing Peter ever wrote to them was that was their hope. A new heaven and a new earth. And by the way, when we're caught up, it's going to be far above all heavens. We have a different inheritance. Same Savior. Time of salvation different. Hope different. Inheritance different. As a man said so clearly years ago, things that are different are not the same. I hope that this is somewhat illustrated to you the importance of acknowledging the differences, because if you teach this group over here, in other words, let me go back and say it different. If you tell these people over here the doctrine that was preached to them over here, you're going to really confuse them, because your sins are already forgiven. You've already received the atonement. You're already in Christ. You're in the body of Christ, and you're going to be caught up so that God then can finish His work with these people over here. And you can't have one before the other. Question is, are you in this group? Are you in the body of Christ? The Bible says if you are, you got in there by the gospel. And that's a very key fact, because nobody can ever show that Peter preached the gospel that Paul preached. I told you to turn to Galatians 2 when we started. Sorry we never got there. We'll do that next week. Would you stand me for prayer?